Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. And tonight we will be going appropriately to Psalm chapter number 23. And as I prayed as for what the Lord would have us to look at tonight, the Lord led me to this psalm. So we're going to take a pause from our apostasy series on Psalm 23. But let me say this. Unfortunately, at the funerals of many unsaved and lost, this psalm is preached, is taught, as perhaps something of a hope for those who do not know Christ as Savior, that somehow they would be shepherded into eternity. That's not what the Bible says. In fact, this is the shepherd's psalm for those who know the Lord Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And we're going to be encouraged tonight in Psalm chapter number 23, as we answer the question, who is your God? Who is your God? Here in Psalm chapter 23, the psalmist David, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, penned the Word of God for us, that we may know who our God is. Why don't we read every second verse together out loud, shall we, as we read through this psalm? I'll start in verse 1, if you'll join me in verse 2. And we'll read every second verse out loud together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Together, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Lord, as we open your word this evening, Lord, help us to see what you want us to see. We ask that you fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord, that he may be our teacher and lead us and guide us into all truth this evening. May he glorify the Lord Jesus tonight through your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. As we look at Psalm chapter number 23, I'm reminded about a parable that the Lord taught in the Gospels about the shepherd and the one lost sheep. Now, we will learn about that parable during our Wednesday night series on the parables of Christ. But for those of you who remember, the Lord Jesus was ministering to all those around him. He was witnessing to them. He was speaking forth the wonderful truths of God. And as the religious crowd stood around the Lord, remember, they criticized him. They said, look at this one who claims to be the Son of God. Look at this one who claims to be the Christ. This man receives sinners and eateth with them. Remember, the Pharisees criticized the Lord. They mocked the Lord. But in fact, their condemnation of the Lord was the greatest compliment to the Lord, that he receives sinners. And the Lord Jesus went on to teach a wonderful parable. I'm sure most of you have heard before, the parable of the shepherd and the lost sheep. Now, let me quickly summarize that parable for you. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter number 15. Actually, why don't we look together? That would be better. Let's let God's word speak rather than myself. Luke chapter number 15. As the Lord taught them this parable, he taught them something that they could not imagine about God. Luke chapter 15. Notice with me verses 3 to 7. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if you lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I found my sheep which was lost. Verse 7, I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. You see, they criticize the Lord for eating with sinners. They criticize the Lord for receiving sinners. And then the Lord Jesus taught these hypocritical Pharisees something they could not possibly imagine. Something about the greatness of the love of God that they could not fathom. And that is this, that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Good Shepherd. And what does he do? Well, he sees the one that is lost. He sees the one that is lost. He sees the lost soul out there in the wilderness that needs to be saved. And then he seeks the one that is lost. He himself, as the great shepherd, goes out of his way to seek that one lost sheep. I believe it's true when the saying has been said over and over again that if you were the only sinner on earth that needed to be saved, Christ would have still died on the cross for you. You see, he sees the one that was lost, and he seeks that one, and then he saves that one. Amen? He saves that one. He brings them home and then rejoices. And that was a wonderful parable to describe to us who our God really is. You see, the Pharisees had no idea, no conception about the greatness of the compassion and the love of God on sinful mankind. And you know, sometimes as Christians, we lose sight of the greatness of God's love, don't we? We lose sight of the greatness of His mercy upon us and the closeness of His presence. You know, let's be honest, sometimes, like the Pharisees, we can be the ones who think all sorts of wrong thoughts about God. We think all sorts of thoughts that are so below and fall so short of the glory of who He is. Amen? We can be like that. We need to know who our God is. In fact, that's one of the reasons why the Lord has left us here. To grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. How many of you here this evening would love to have God's grace and peace multiplied unto us, abounding in our lives? Well, the Bible says it happens unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. How can we enjoy the Christian life to the fullest? How can we enjoy the blessings of God to the fullest? The Bible says if we know Him. You know, that was the Apostle Paul. Paul, the Apostle, that was his goal in life. He said these words, that I may know Him. That I may know Him. You know, church family, we need to know who our God is. Once we are saved, we need to know Him more. Salvation is just a starting point. And as we turn back to Psalm chapter number 23, let's let God's Word speak and show us who He is. Who He really is in our lives. You know, David penned this psalm during a time of trial and during a time of difficulty. And isn't it true that when we face difficulties in our lives, when we face overwhelming pressures, that really reveals what we believe about our God? It really believes about whom we are trusting in. It really shows whom we are trusting in and what we truly believe. And as David penned this famous psalm, it's one of the most well-known and perhaps the least believed. Let's look this evening at this question. Who is our God? Now, of course, there are many truths here. I'd like to just bring seven out this evening. Six. Notice, first of all, this evening, the first truth we see is that the Lord will provide for our every need. The Lord will provide for our every need. In fact, let me put it this way. He provides for my every need. See, David said the Lord is my shepherd. Let me encourage you to apply it to your life. The Lord will provide for my every need. John chapter 10 verse 11 says this. The Lord Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. My friends, your greatest need and my greatest need and the greatest need that we will ever have is the salvation of our souls. And the Lord Jesus Christ, first and foremost, provided for our greatest need. You see, Isaiah chapter 53 tells us very clearly, all we like sheep. You see, we are like sheep. All we like sheep have gone astray. You see, sheep are clever, they're not dumb, but they can make very, very foolish decisions. They can make very foolish decisions and make foolish actions. They can disappear and get lost and go astray. And the Bible says that all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to our own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Brethren, the Lord Jesus Christ died on that old rugged cross so that you and I might be saved, might be forgiven, might have eternal life. Because he laid his life down for the sheep. He laid his life down for you and I. You see, he provided for our greatest need. That's who our Lord is, amen. He provides for all our needs. Our greatest need is salvation. Let me ask you this evening, has there ever been a time where the weight of your sin against God overwhelmed your soul? Has there ever been a time that you saw the weight of your sins in the light of God's holiness? And then has there ever been a time where you saw the greatness of God's love in light of the weight of your sins and saw how God's love overcame on the cross so long ago? Has there ever been a time where you repented of your sins and not just prayed a prayer, but turned to Christ as your personal Saviour? You see, David was a saved man. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd." He had been saved. He knew the Lord as his Saviour. Perhaps you're here this evening and perhaps your thoughts are so wrong and so twisted about God. Perhaps they're that way because there has never been that time. There has never been that new birth. You see, Jesus said, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." My friends, until we experience a personal and supernatural spiritual birth, everything that you hear in church, everything you read of in the Bible would just be theory. It'll just be dry. It'll just be empty. And you'll be asking the question, why are people so excited about the Christian life? My friends, we get excited once we're saved. Amen. Absolutely. You see, that's the starting point. We need to understand that the new birth is necessary. It's necessary. That is our greatest need. Perhaps that is your need this evening. Let me encourage you. Once you're saved, the light will turn on. Once you're saved, there'll be a joy in your heart that the world never gave you. You'll know the difference. And you see, he provides for our greatest need. In spite of our rejection of him, he loved his little sheep so much that he gave himself to die for us. As Christians, we should never doubt the love of God. After we're saved, we should never doubt the love of God. What reason would we have to when he gave his life for the sheep? Now, if he provides for our greatest need, don't you think that he will provide for our every need? What do you think? Amen. Amen, he does. Notice what the Bible says. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, many of the things that we want are not actually needs, they're wants. You know, too often you and I get into trouble because we want more than what we need. There are some genuine needs in our lives and God provides for all our needs, but then there are some things that we just want to have. And that's when we get ourselves into trouble. We want more entertainment. We want more popularity. We want more pleasure. We want more money. And we go down the stream and follow the path of the world. And then we become discouraged because the Bible tells us that these things can never satisfy. You see, a lust for more will always lead to sinful choices. A lust for more was how Adam and Eve fell in the Garden of Eden. They will always lead to sin. But then notice with me, he provides for our every need. He provides for my every need. How? Well, look with me what David said. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know what David was saying here? He was saying this: I shall not want because the Lord is my shepherd. He didn't say that I'm satisfied because God has given me lots of riches. He didn't say that I'm content and I don't want anything else than what I have in my life because I have a great palace and a mansion and I've got 5 or 6 new cars. That's not what he was saying. He was saying this in verse number 1, that he does not need anything else outside of the presence and the person of God in his life. That's what David was saying. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He was saying that we have a good shepherd that cares for us and that loves us, and we will never lack anything for our present happiness that God has not already given us in Himself. Amen. You see, it is the Lord who is our happiness. It is the Lord who is our joy. Don't miss this, Christian. The Lord is our joy in life. See, so often we get into trouble because we try to seek the world's joys. They provide no fulfillment. The devil tempts us with an enticement and a temptation, and it looks good for a season. It tastes nice for a little while, but then that sweetness turns to bitterness. That temptation turns to tragedy. And we feel the bitter sting of sin, and we wonder how we ever got in this mess. And we so often forget who our Lord really is. Do you realize that the Lord will always love you, and that His love never changes? Do you realize that the Lord will always, always forgive you for your sins? Do you realize the Lord is always right by you as a Christian, and He will never leave you nor forsake you? Do you realize the precious treasure you have in the Lord Jesus Christ? Not what He gives you financially or physically or temporally. No, but in the person of the Lord Himself. You know, this is what this psalm is all about. Who God is. Not what we can get from God. Not what we can convince Him by prayer to send down to us. But what and who we already have in our Lord. See, contentment rests upon who we believe God is in our life. The Lord is always loving. He is always forgiving. He is always in control of everything in my life. No matter what happens, He is always in control. He is always present with me. The Lord can always be trusted. Amen. Can you think about someone tonight that can't be trusted, that betrayed you? Do you realize that the Lord can always be trusted? That He will never lie? He cannot lie, the Bible says. What a wonderful Heavenly Father we have. And yet, how little we know of Him. How little we trust Him. Many of us have wants this evening. If I'd ask you to write a list, perhaps the list will be this long. Let me ask you to write a list of what you want in life. And I wonder if the Lord is on that list. I wonder if He's the only one that you want to know more about. See, that's what the Christian life is all about. And if there's something that you want that you don't have, let me guarantee you that you don't need to have it. The Lord will provide. So often we panic about money, and I keep saying, money is a side issue. When you have the Lord, He is my shepherd. He is your shepherd. And the shepherd will look after His sheep. Amen. We just need to follow the Lord. He'll look after us. He'll feed us with food fit for our soul. He provides for my every need. And my greatest need is Him for salvation and His presence in my life. Notice, secondly, this evening, not only does He provide for my every need, He comforts me in every situation. Notice verse 2. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. What a wonderful picture of peace. What a wonderful picture of tranquility. A couple of weeks ago, we went up to visit Grace Baptist Church and just shared our thanks with them on a Wednesday night for praying for us and supporting us. And we went there for the prayer meeting. And I remember as we drove up, the sun was shining and the rain had stopped. It had been raining for a couple of weeks up there and all the grass was green. And I tell you what, the rolling hills just continued on as we drove past. We drove through some areas we hadn't been through. It's a beautiful part of the country, amen. Rolling hills of green and valleys. And as we looked down, and I remember that scene, took a few photos, you know, a wonderful picture of peacefulness, of rest, of stillness and tranquility. You know, that's what the Bible is describing for us tonight. That's what the Lord is saying. He's saying that if we have the Lord in our life, we have a wonderful peace that the world cannot take away. But let me say this. Our life does not look like verse number 2 a lot of the times, isn't that true? My friends, aren't there great valleys in the Christian life, yes or no? Yes. Aren't there great trials? Aren't there great tribulations and difficulties? But David is saying here, in the midst of the circumstances of life, we can have a peace in the soul, in our souls, that the Lord has given us that goes beyond the difficulties of life. You see, the Lord Jesus comforts me in every situation. Though the storm may rage around us, brethren, we can have a peace in our souls which the world can never know. Isn't that true? You see, that's what David is saying. This is a supernatural peace. The Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 7, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. You see, when we rest in the Lord, when we pray, that's how we trust in the Lord. We pray. When we rest in Him, we can experience the peace of God that passeth all understanding. We can experience His comfort in every situation. And it doesn't make sense. It passes all understanding. In fact, by rights, if I'm going through this tragic situation, I ought to be falling apart. And yet somehow, there's a joy in my heart. Somehow, there's a peace there as I look to the Lord. Notice what the Bible says at the end of verse 2. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Do you remember what David said in Psalm chapter 1? The one that delights in the word of God, he shall be like what? A tree planted by the rivers of water. And this just reminded me of the fact that how is your soul and mind refreshed? How can we experience that peace in the midst of the storm? We can experience that peace by getting close to God in His Word. Amen. We can experience the overcoming joys of the Christian life. The Bible tells us as we read through the Word of God that when we are persecuted, when we face great opposition in our witness, we can in fact rejoice. We can rejoice because we know that God is rejoicing. Amen. We can rejoice because we know that others have died for the faith. And we can rejoice for great is your treasure in heaven. Amen. You see, the Word of God comforts our soul. He comforts us in every situation. When we're in danger, we know that God is our shield and defender. The psalmist said, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for Thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. When you're scared at night, you just need to cast your mind back to the Lord. If you've been watching scary movies you shouldn't have, well, you deserve it. Excuse me. You deserve it. The devil's playing tricks with your mind. And if you wake up 10 times a night because every creak and crack in the home is disturbing your peace, that is your fault, my friend. Amen. Amen. Why don't you switch off the TV and spend some time with God before you go to sleep and then allow God to wash your soul clean with the water of the Word. Amen. Amen. We're all the same. I know this because I've been there, you see. So we need God's peace. And we can have a peace. Who likes the description of verse number 2? Is that where you want to dwell in your Christian life, in your soul? Hills of green, tranquil waters. Well, that's what God, our great shepherd, gives to us. He provides for our every needs. He comforts me in every situation. Notice thirdly in verse 3, He leads me when I go astray. He leads me when I go astray. The Bible says in verse 3, He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Now, let's not be like the Pharisees this evening and say that none of us have sin in our lives. Let's not say this evening that none of us have ever gone astray in the Christian life. Have you gone astray in the Christian life before? Have you ever sinned against God and wondered how you got in this mess? Have you ever thought to yourself, maybe God is fed up with me? Maybe God is fed up with my sin? Maybe He loves me no longer? Notice what the Bible says. He restoreth my soul. He restoreth my soul. My friends, this is a wonderful, precious truth about our God. You know, sheep are known for their foolishness, and that's what we are. So often we are foolish, foolish sheep that stray away from our wonderful Saviour. Now, in a book entitled A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, some of you have read that book before, there are some wonderful illustrations from a shepherd's perspective of sheep. And these illustrations are applied spiritually. Let me share one with you this morning when the author writes about the cast sheep. The cast sheep. He writes this: "The foolish little sheep wanders off and will eventually lie down in the lush green grass over on her side and become unbalanced. This causes her to flip upside down with her legs flailing frantically in the air, and she has become cast." Basically, the sheep is stuck in an upside down position and can't roll itself to get back on its feet. Now, that's a dangerous position for the sheep, because not only are predators, but the position that the sheep is in stops the circulation in the sheep's body from moving and will eventually be cut off. And if the sheep is not rescued in time, it will die. The sheep is completely helpless and can be saved and restored only by the loving care of the shepherd. Now, when the shepherd finally finds her, he doesn't just quickly jerk the sheep back onto her feet and send her on her way. He must carefully turn her over, then gently massage her legs and slowly help her to get back on her feet. Throughout this restoration process, the shepherd is lovingly and tenderly talking to the wayward one. If she is in bad shape, he may even have to carry her. Does that sound familiar? He may even have to carry her back to the fold, which is the picture we so often see of the shepherd with his little sheep on his shoulders. Isn't that a beautiful description of our Savior? You know, when we've wandered, when we've gone astray, because our fellowship with the Lord is at a distance, we don't think the right thoughts about God. We think that He's left us. We think that He's forsaken us. We think perhaps we've even lost our salvation. We think that He doesn't love us anymore. We think that perhaps He's fed up with us. And my friends, let me assure you this evening, that is not a thought pattern from God. Because the Bible tells us that He restoreth our soul. That word restoreth means to revive. That word restore means to bring back to fullness of life. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, when we sin, is right there willing and seeking to forgive us for our sin. He's willing and seeking to restore us to a place of fellowship. He's willing and seeking to set us back on firm ground and on the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. My friends, God is good and He never changes. When we stray, He is right there. He is right there. Perhaps you're far from the Lord this evening. Let me share this with you. Though you may have strayed, the Lord didn't go anywhere. He's been there with you all along as a Christian. He's been there waiting for you to do what John said in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. My friends, He leads us when we go astray. He is with us. He guides us. What a wonderful, precious the truth of our Lord that we so often forget, and we make up our own God in our mind, and actually it's not the God of the Bible. It's the God of this world, the devil. The devil hates us. The devil is our enemy. But the Lord is our shepherd. See, He leads me when I go astray. Can you see the closeness of God to us tonight? My friend, He is one that is near. And when we fall, He carries us. For He is the good shepherd. And we are the sheep of His pasture. Notice in verse number 4, He is with me in the valley of death. He provides for my greatest need. He comforts me in every situation. He leads me when I go astray. And fourthly, He is with me in the valley of death. Verse 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me." Now we know the trials of life will come. But if the Lord tarries His coming, if the rapture doesn't take place before you and I step into eternity, we will all have to face the great trial of death. We'll all have to face the veil of death. But the good news for the Christian is that is a moment, that is a time that you and I have every reason to look forward to. Now don't take that for granted. Don't take that for granted. You see, David said, Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Let me ask you, have you ever been at the bedside of someone who's dying and is not saved? That's probably the saddest occasion in the Christian life. I've been at the bedside of the dying unsaved. I've seen a dear lady that we prayed for and witnessed to harden to the gospel. And all she could do was to weep over what was happening to her. All that she could do was to tremble in fear of the unknown that was to come. And another lady who was riddled with cancer and her body looked like a skeleton walking. And as we witnessed to her, she wept. She wept sorrowfully. You see, that's the condition of one who is lost. That's the condition of one who does not have a shepherd, who does not know the Lord as their shepherd. But brethren, if we know the Lord as our great shepherd, we must and we shall not fear any evil. Amen. There is no reason for us to fear, because we know that last breath in this world is simply the open door to eternity. The Bible tells us that though death is a confronting reality, we can be comforted because He is with us. David was comforted. You see, David knew God's presence in his life, and therefore he knew God would be with him in his death. Now, as a Christian, we can never lose our salvation, but we can die in fear. We can die in worry. If we don't walk with the Lord in our Christian life, I guarantee you, you will be worrying on your deathbed, wondering exactly what will happen. What's in store? There will be a measure of peace in your heart, no doubt. But you see, David had confidence in death because he had confidence in life. He walked with the Lord. He not only knew the Lord as his Savior, but he knew the Lord as his shepherd. You see, our life is simply a matter of days added up. And the more you and I walk with the Lord, the more confident and joyful we will be at the end of our life. And I was so thankful that the funeral of Barbara McFarlane testified to the fact that this was a lady that walked with the Lord. She knew the Lord. She spent time with the Lord. In fact, as her room at the nursing home was cleared out, her daughter Kylie told me she just had to collect boxes and boxes of Baptist breads. Yeah. Those little devotional booklets. Good on you, Sister Deidre. Amen. Those little devotional booklets. She read the Word of God. That was her comfort. That was her joy. The Word of God. And she knew the Lord was with her. You see, He is with us in the valley of death. And we need to be persuaded, as Paul was, that death will not separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. How can we be persuaded? Well, we need to be saved, and then we need to know our Lord. We need to walk with Him. Would you get to know God today, Christian? Would you get to know Him today so that one day, if that day comes, that you'll know His sweet presence is with you and guides you into eternity? Isn't that a beautiful picture here in verse 4? There's a shepherd with his rod and staff, guarding and keeping his sheep so that not one will be lost. That is our great shepherd. He is with me in the valley of death. He blesses me when I am opposed. As we come to the fifth verse, the Bible says that God blesses us. God blesses us in the midst of opposition. In the face of our enemies, God will bless us, and that is His goodness to us. Verse 5, Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Now, David certainly had his enemies, didn't he? Absolutely. Perhaps he wrote this psalm when one of those people that he loved as a leader, as a friend, as a family member was trying to kill him. But the Bible testifies of the fact that David knew that even in the face of his enemies, God had blessed him. Notice verse 5. God gives us the picture that our shepherd will prepare for us a banquet feast of blessings in the face of our enemies. God will prepare for us a banquet feast of blessings when we are opposed. Let me encourage you, when you face the oppositions, look for the blessings, amen. Because isn't it so true, when we face difficulties in our life, when the unsaved world opposes us, when we find ourselves in a place of persecution for our faith in the Lord, isn't it so true that that's the very moment that the Lord comes and He shows us a token for good. He shows us something to rejoice about, to remind us that He's right there, blessing us and working in our midst. Isn't that true? You see, in the face of oppositions, God's blessings overflow. That's what David said here in verse number 5. Thou anointest my head with oil. That's a picture of God's favor upon His children. And that anointing is not just done in a small measure, but in fact, my cup runneth over. If we would just step back and look at the blessings in our life, my friends, we would have a book full to fill out of the things we should say thank you, Lord, for in the Christian life. Let me encourage you. Focus on the blessings in the midst of the burdens. The Lord is always up to good in our life. Amen. Romans 8:28. He is always up to good in my life. Always. Always. Do I need to say it again? The Bible says, Romans 8:28. Amen. For we know that all things work together for good. Thank you, Sister Monica. We know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. That means that God is always up to good in our life. That is, God is always working for good in our life. Even in the midst of persecution. In fact, in the midst of opposition, the blessings are that much more precious. You see, David knew that as a reality. Maybe you're facing great persecution right now and opposition. Let me encourage you. Look for the blessings. Because they're there and they overflow. My friends, that is how good our shepherd is to us. Can you see how great He is? Lastly, He is my shepherd forever. He is my shepherd forever. It's no secret that eternity is in view in this last verse. Psalm chapter 23, the Bible says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You see, eternity is in view. Our eternal shepherd cannot change. He never changes. He is eternal. Therefore, His goodness and mercy will never change. His goodness and mercy will always be with us for the rest of our life. And the great climax will be, my friends, when the greatness of His goodness and mercy finally ushers us into our heavenly home. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Is it not true that the Christian life is the most exciting life this side of eternity? Why? Because of what the Lord gives us? No. Because of who He is in our lives. The Lord is my shepherd. Let me encourage you, church family. The good shepherd has gone to prepare a place for you. And when He comes, He will receive you unto Himself, so that where He is, you also shall be forever, forever. My friends, we have an exciting life. We have an exciting Savior. Let me ask the question we began with. Who is your God? Who do you believe Him to be? Is He a perverted and twisted resemblance of what you have made Him to be out in your heart? My friends, we still have a wicked, sinful nature that wants to distort the truth of God. My friends, He loves you. Are you saved? Have you received Christ as your shepherd? Jesus said also in another illustration, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. It's only through Christ we are saved. Not through a church, not through the prayers of someone else, not through a religion or works. My friends, have you ever come to Christ Himself and cried out to Him to save you once and for all from your wretched, wicked sins? Has that ever taken place in your life? A prayer is just a prayer until it's a cry for salvation from the heart of a lost sinner needing a Savior. My friends, have you been saved? If not, come to Christ today. He is waiting. And if you have, then rejoice in who He is. Will you rejoice this week? Will you spend time with the Lord? He provides for my every need. He comforts me in every situation. He leads me when I go astray. He is with me in the valley of death. He blesses me when I am opposed, and He is my Lord and Shepherd forever. Isn't that enough reasons? Six reasons to rejoice in the Lord this week. Let me close by saying that David was not a sinless man. Not at all. But you see, time and time again, God describes him as the benchmark of faith. Every king was measured up to David. Why? Because we know he wasn't sinless. Why? Why was he called a man after God's own heart? Why? Because of what we read here in Psalm 23. Because he had a deep and loving relationship with God. He had a relationship with God. How well do you know him? We all need to get to know him better. Let me encourage you to spend time with your Lord. Let me encourage you to pray and know that your prayers waft up to the heavens before the throne of God as incense, and delight the heart of our Lord. Let me encourage you to know that the Lord is our shepherd, is my shepherd, is your shepherd, and let us love him this week.